Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Nolig shakata hug me mochridicha ach an la dargion hug tu arnashdom
an
blin sha convesawaja tori me ed gwyn a specialta.
All right, guys, last Christmas we came to you with the 12 snugs of Christmas, but here we are lining up for Christmas this year in Grady's yard. We're surrounded by pints, we're surrounded by chocolate treats, and we have a fucking treat of an episode here for you tonight. Me, DJ Walsh, hosting. I'm joined on my right-hand side by my right-hand man, Owen Tabb. I'm joined on my left-hand side by my left-hand man, Ollie Sharp. Boys, how are you getting on?
I'm great. It's a wonderful time of year to be pointing with you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of year.
I think that we need to think up of like new titles for ourselves. Like, you know, instead of like co-host or, you know, we need to have like
job description.
new job descriptions. Like,
so you could be like senior stout advisor.
Oh, that'd be good.
Ollie, you could be craft consultant.
Craft consultant, I'll write that. Yeah.
You do a lot of editing of the podcast, so you could be the producer and seducer.
I don't do much seducing in the rest of my life, so I'm gonna take it. Give a false impression of skills that I don't actually have. So we're here in Grady's yard, and what we've actually done is I've been to Aldi on the way in, and I've got us a box of miniature heroes, a box of celebrations, and a box of roses. And they didn't have Quality Street. Boys, we were talking about this. Quality Street is shite enough, but they have a new Quality Street at the moment. I was hoping to get your opinion on, but it'll have to wait for another day, maybe next week. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a few pints, going to have a chat as usual. And we're going to eat a few chocolates in between and talk about Christmas treats.
I just want to say there's a lovely flickering light in front of us here now. There's a candle lit on the table, and it is really adding to the atmosphere.
I feel
so Christmassy. Yeah, well, I'd say it's probably also the three boxes of chocolate here.
It's like a perfect mix of Christmas cheer with all the chocolates, but then the flickering light in the cowl is almost like Sean O'Riordan in his house in Enniscarra when he had tuberculosis and he's writing poems in the winter, The Howling Wind.
Do you know what? That thought did cross my mind.
That exact thought.
That exact, yeah. I was seeing him and Peg.
We finna have sustained my early career. Anyways, look, we're here. It's cold outside. It's a bit blustery this week in Ireland. Wherever you are in the world, I don't know what the weather's like, but it's definitely, there's been a bite to the chill. We got in the car earlier on. We hadn't any drink on board at this stage. And it was 10.5 degrees and we were both a bit shocked.
There was a chill factor, as they say, on Met Aaron or whatever.
There was a frosty bite to your bollocks.
There was, but I don't know. Look, lads, the one thing in Ireland, right, I don't care what temperature is, once it's dry.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I hate the rain. I hate the rain so much, like.
Although a cutting wind isn't very nice either now.
Yeah, but you get over a cutting wind. You can shelter from a cutting wind.
Yeah, you can.
Because I think the thing about like a cutting wind, right, once you step inside afterwards, like here tonight, right, I had a nice kind of cool walk down here and then stepped in, nice wave of heat came in, like when we walked in the door, whereas now if it had been pissing rain and I was drenched, like...
You're cold when you're in then.
I wouldn't be happy. Yeah. I wouldn't be happy chappy now.
And, but also as well, we're lucky the fact that we're three young mobile chaps who can get out and about and seduce... but
seduce and produce.
Here's hoping not.
Yeah. Fucking hell. This took a turn.
Touch wood, very good.
But basically, what I was going to say is, there's plenty of people out there who don't have the means or the goings about to get out and about and go for a couple of pints, especially in this weather where, I suppose, it's a bit daunting for elderly people to get outside, but there's this class initiative going on at the moment. It's sponsored by Diageo, I believe. Sponsored by Guinness Own.
Yeah, I saw. Guinness promoting it on Twitter. Anyway, yeah. They put the video up.
And I've seen a couple of clips online, and we were in the
car. Underline. Yeah. I want you to lean.
On the internet. I was surfing earlier on the internet.
Yeah. www.
WWF, and we were in the car earlier. I was dropping into the garage earlier, and we were listening to the radio, and we came
it was
across.
Matt Cooper, was it?
It was Matt Cooper.
Shout out
the
to
last
Matt.
Word.
Big shout out to Matt.
And myself and Matt went
an
to the same school.
An avid listener.
Two alumni.
Yeah, we went to the same school. We said nothing about Dennis O'Brien. We'll get sued. Howie Matt, and he was talking to one of my favourite people of all time, to be quite honest. Have a guess, who's your favourite person from Roscommon?
Roscommon, Jesus. I was going to say Ian Rush or something, but
from Moon.
Ian Rush is from Chester.
I know.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
I have no idea.
Completely sunk.
Gone.
Big boiler.
I have no idea.
Nah. Leave him.
We'll let you stew. but basically, we were listening, and there's this new scheme in Kerry, and they're looking to roll it out across the rest of Ireland. It's called a social spin. And it's where, basically, there are sponsored drivers to bring owl lads and owl ones and people who are in remote parts of the country.
Owl lads. Specifically,
and I said owl lads, owl ones, and people who are in most parts of the country to the pub basically for a couple of social pints and drop them home.
That's lovely,
and it's like a community initiative.
That's very good,
absolutely fantastic.
So, it's a complete voluntary basis, and the maximum donation, so like it is completely voluntary, there's no need to give the people any money, but if you do want to give them money, the maximum donation that you can give is a fiver. So, like, you know, it's like for, I just suppose, for the upkeep of the car and whatever.
Yeah.
And like
a few litres of diesel.
And like it's a nice thing as well, whereby, you know, similar to, I suppose, like the Park Run initiative in Ireland as well, where there is that whole, like, you do, well, for the Park Run, in Waterford anyway, I'd say it's probably a national thing as well, but they say for every 10 park runs you do, you volunteer at one.
Yeah.
So for every 10 you run, you volunteer at one, like, you know? So, like, I suppose it's probably that thing as well where, like, say, for every 10 times you go out to the pub, like, you volunteer to be the designated driver or, you know, do the social spin for one then. Like, so I think, like, if you do that... I also think it's a crying shame that they don't allow Uber operate in Ireland, because it is a thing whereby... You know, fucking college lads, you know, just looking for a few pounds, could turn on the app and, you know, like out in these kind of rural spots where you could just, you know, instead of having to go and get a taxi license or whatever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, it's insurance again in Ireland. Like, yeah. Screwing that over. And I suppose it's probably the taxi regulator as well. Like,
I have experience of this with, say, like elderly relatives that I have, where you'd call to them and if they're in a form to go to the pub, great, you'd bring them and it. Like, it is a bit of a chore to bring them and stuff at times. They're not most mobile, and it can take a lot of time to get them into the car, and you're trying to help them in and all this kind of stuff. And that's grand, but like, when you have your own life as well, and you're like, yeah, they're dependent on you, and you're not basically around every week. It's great that there's some service now that like people in certain parts of Kerry can rely on.
Yeah.
It's not a government initiative, so it's not going to be culled so long as people keep volunteering. I think it's really, really good. I think it's really good.
It's a very Christmas story, isn't it? It's a lovely, heartfelt way of getting people into obviously into the pub, and you know they're thinking, oh, Guinness organised this, we'll probably buy a pint or whatever they're drinking. But it's just a lovely, heartwarming thing to hear. Because
that's what we were saying earlier on as well, that Christmas for a lot of people can be a very lonely time.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. For the elderly, like,
I know, and like a lot of people like rely on the pub culture in Ireland in order to have that kind of social scene and meet up with friends and stuff. Like, you know, like there's not many late night places, or just places in general, really, that you can actually meet with people. Maybe it's a detriment, like, that the pub is the one place where people meet in Ireland. But like, having cousins in America, you know, knowing lots of kind of like people throughout the world, like there's actually, you know, you say, oh, the pub culture is, you know, a bit, you know, tough on a health wise on Irish people or whatever. But like, socially, like, there's not really a replacement anywhere else in the world for that kind of social interaction. And, like, having a bit of crack.
But I think even with that, Owen, like, when you look at the regulations in Ireland and stuff, like, there's a board game cafe in Cork. I think there's something similar, but it is a pub in Kilkenny. There's a non-alcoholic bar now in Dublin. There are efforts being made, but the issue I think that board game cafe in Cork have is... because of license restrictions, they're not allowed to open beyond a certain point and stuff like that. So you are right, like, for like, Ireland has a growing Muslim population. Ireland has an awful lot of young people nowadays are turning away from alcohol and actually going towards a more healthy lifestyle. You could argue the fact about whether it's a balance in those lifestyles, grand, but like, definitely something that helps increase the social activities of secluded people who may be suffering, especially this time of year, from social affective disorder because they're not getting much light as well. We're coming to like the shortest day of the year. It's definitely an initiative that I would give my full backing to. I think it's great. But also as well, it disincentivizes people to chance the couple of pints and driving. And like, the statistics are like, you know, indisputable on drink driving, you know, they're absolutely indisputable, whatever certain Healy Reyes might say. But as far as I'm concerned, the social spin, without a doubt, is something to get behind.
Yeah, no, you're very right. And I suppose, like, as well, like, it's awful to see the rural pub having to close its doors, you know, because, like, it wasn't... They opened up as a service. It wasn't as if they were trying to incentivize people to drink drive initially. That wasn't... You know, that wasn't what they were initially trying to do, like, you know. But I suppose, like, it was the... Like, a lot of the rural pubs were just saying that, like, it's the morning after drink driving checks. That morning check now that has really, really stopped people from... Not drink driving, but, like, actually...
But is
not even going out.
Well, the RSA have a promotional campaign at the moment, and I don't know the figures off the top of my head, so, like, I could be misquoting here, but... From what I remember right now, sitting in a pub, not having the information in front of me, I think it's roughly around 20% of road traffic accidents, fatalities, or road traffic accidents. No, is it 20% of people who are prosecuted for drink driving offences? It happens the morning after, as opposed to actually
directly
after they've consumed. So you're talking about, like, you know, 20% of cases of people who've been on the beer the next morning getting stung because they're over the legal alcohol limit to drive. So, yeah, look, I think at least they're not driving home. I don't know how you tackle that 20%, because that, like, the social spin is really good from a socialising perspective. The people who are going to benefit most from the social spin probably aren't going driving the next morning anyway, because they're probably people who are isolated.
Yeah.
And if they weren't as isolated and as alone or as frail, they wouldn't need to avail of such a service. But
Actually, to kind of bring it a little off tangent but still on topic, is you know, the DUI laws in the States, right? So say if you go out for a few pints a night, right, and drink driving in the States is ridiculous, like, and it's like, I think this has kind of led to the culture of continued drink driving, right? But say if we went out, right, and we had 3 pints, right, and we're like, ah, do you know what, I'm actually grand to drive home, right? And I started driving home, and then I was like, fuck it, I'm not grand to drive home. Or even say if I never left, right, and I went out to the car, and I sat in the car, and had the engine on with the heating on, right? So I was just like, I'll wait here now until I sober up, or, you know, sleep here for a while now before I drive home or whatever, right? If you're caught in that car with the engine on, not having moved, right, or pulled in and are not moving with the keys in the car, it's a DUI that you're stung for there, like, you know.
So they're saying, so when the engine is on, you're operating the vehicle.
You're operating the vehicle, right? So someone who has made the conscious effort not to drive while drinking or pulling in or whatever, right, or just hasn't, right, gets slammed for a DUI. So the mentality in the States then has revolved to them saying, do you know what, the best thing to do is try and get home as quick as possible. Like, literally, yeah, like, that's, yeah, do you know, yeah, like, because...
So they're combining drink driving and speeding.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what it is? Because, like, they're like, oh, sure, like, I'm fucked anyway.
You're fucked anyway.
I'm
not going to sit... even go near the car, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you're not going to pull in off the side of the road, like, you know, I'm not going to pull in off the side of the road in the freezing winter and turn off the engine, like, you know. We think it's cold here, like, imagine in Colorado or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying that shit, like, imagine going to South Park.
Like, yeah.
Minnesota, like.
Imagine poor Andy Marsh there now. Offer a few points and he wants to drive home. Kenny's out, lad. Really, really good. At Social Spin, lads. Look it up.
Big ups to the Social Spin, lads.
Look it up. Look it up.
I think that. So, ultimately, it's kind of pilot phase now.
Two regions in Kerry, yeah.
I think it's regions,
yeah. They do a loop of a couple of pubs. And, like, there are similar enough things happening around the country unofficially where I know that there's, like, guys with little small minibuses who, I know this from say, like, I know Niamh's dad, like, has gone from Ballyroan to Naas, which is, like, about an hour away, and there's, like, a bus at a certain time that'll drop you back, that does a leash run, like, kind of thing, like, where it'll go back down through Port Leash and Ballyroan and Avileaks and Rathdowney and all that kind of stuff. But, I'm all for that. Right, lads. We have miniature hero celebrations and roses in front of us. I'm going for... What's appealing to you right now? I'm getting... So the new miniature hero this year is the Crunchy Bits.
I'm
going
to say it looks...
I haven't had one yet.
Oh. Had one earlier on. It's very good.
What are you going for? What's leaping out of you?
I'm going to go for a Milky Way.
I must say, with the Crunchy Bits, lads... Loyal listeners will know that I love a good smell of something.
You say loyalists, is it?
Loyal listeners. Loyalists can fuck off. Loyal listeners know that I love a good smell of something before I eat or drink it. And the Crunchy Bit smells like a Cadbury's Easter egg right now. So it's exactly like, do you know the Crunchy Bits Dairy McBlanc, the big bar that they do? It's amazing. That's brilliant.
It's very good.
What are you eating, all?
Milky Way, yeah. I think it's an underrated... It's something you'd never buy in a shop. If you were to go up and you had a coffee or a tea or whatever, and you saw one of those, you probably wouldn't go for it. But in the celebrations of Christmas, I think it's a lovely treat.
I think Milky Way is real nostalgic because it's the kind of thing, because it's airy and fluffy,
it's
the kind of thing you give a really young kid.
Mm, yeah.
Mm. Owen, what did you go for?
I had Twix. I haven't had one in years, so I go for it.
Yeah.
He wasn't jumping out at me or anything, just said, fuck it, I go for
you,
Twix.
You did a good bit of rummaging now, to be fair.
Yeah.
Do what I say to you, right? Some of these imitated, like, the smaller versions for the Christmas treats and the boxes, are exactly like the Whisper one is very similar to what a Whisper is.
Yeah.
I don't think the Twix in them taste like a Twix bar when you're eating it.
No, I haven't had a Twix now. Disclaimer.
More on that later. Anyway, lads, we're off to fill up the fucking pint glasses, so we'll be back to you in a minute. And we're back in the room, lads. And actually, we're back in the room so long Ollie was shitting on that I've, like, 2/3 of my pint drank already. So
well,
sorry
about
that. But we had a little chocolate there before the break, lads, and I'm going to go for another chocolate now. What do you reckon?
No.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to choose a chocolate for the person on our left, and they have to taste it and decipher what it's like. So, Owen, you're choosing for me. Ollie, you're choosing for Owen, and I'm choosing for you, Ollie.
Okay, I'm going to go for roses, because they're always kind of a mixed bag, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to do a little...
A Russell. An orange rose. Possibly the worst chocolate you can get on the table for me. Ollie, I'm going to give you a miniature hero.
Okay.
Oh, you're doing a lucky dip as well.
A double decker,
great.
Good shout.
Not a bad shot. You may go for the celebration for Owen. Yeah.
I hit the trifecta here.
You don't have to fucking lead him on.
Well, what would you?
No.
Put something out. I hope it's a fucking Twix, the bland bastard.
Galaxy Caramel,
right.
I haven't had one of these in years.
So, I've got the raw deal here, an orange rose. I'm going to eat it because I'm sounding like that, but...
I actually like the orange roses now. I'd
have to say, if I was... The roses would be my least favourite box of chocolate at Christmas.
Probably, but...
It'd be the last one I'd go
for. But they're the most sentimental.
Most Christmassy.
Yeah. The orange rose doesn't do much for me now.
Double decker's good.
How's Galaxy Caramel? Galaxy Caramel is great, I think.
I think Celebrations are the most well-rounded.
You can only have the one or two, though, the Galaxy Caramel.
They're suiting you. I mean, no Maltese are there just to get their taste of the orange chocolate.
I think the chocolate to caramel ratio in the Galaxy Caramel, I think there's maybe a little bit too much caramel.
Let me tell you about chocolate, the orange ratio.
Yeah.
The orange twirl, lads.
Lads, I had it. We were talking about it 2 weeks ago, right? And after
three podcasts in a row. No,
Diego Maradona dance.
Come here. And also, I watched the Maradona in Mexico. Watched my 2 episodes yesterday, and I really
hooked.
And I took your advice. I turned off English subtitles. Turned on the English. Turned off English dub over.
Yeah.
Turn on the English subtitle and played it all. And I have to say, I really fucking enjoyed it. It was
so good.
And I had the orange twirl today in Kira's house with a cup of tea, and it was fucking
Where'd you get it?
I don't know where. Her mum got it.
My orange twirl dealer is all out.
No way. Yeah.
Lads,
it was worth the wait.
If you don't have the money to submit to the Patreon, just send us orange twirls.
I think I've been to 11 shops so far. Orange twirl.
That night after the podcast, we went to McDonald's, right? And I was like, the only place to be open out is the Maxall out by the Cork Road. So we went out, and fucking bastards didn't have. After one of you had said that Maxall out there have it, I was like, lovely, now I'll go out here and have a cup of tea when I come.
Fuckers.
Not a fucking chance.
So, while we're on the topic anyway, lads, if you want to donate orange twirls, do. But otherwise, you can support us by, as Blind Bait say, a price of a cup of coffee or a price of a pint. There's different tiers on Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/snowcast. We haven't been recording every week lately because we've been busy with our personal lives. A few more Patreon subscribers would actually help facilitate that. And also follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. We're Snowcast on all those. Engage with us. Fucking love a bit of feedback. We put up an old Best Points of 2019, tried their own recently, and I got a good response.
Yeah, actually, that's one of your better tweets.
Thanks. I actually really enjoy going back through the photos and looking at some of the pints during the year. Some really good pints, really good times, and thanks for staying with Snowcast in 2019.
Here, actually, I'll tell you what, my pint tonight is up there.
Jesus Christ,
we never talk about the pints. Straight into social driving.
Social spin was really important and really close to our hearts. Ollie Sharp, what are you drinking tonight?
I am on the Yellow Belly Breakfast Stout. Snooze button, yeah.
What percent is it?
4.3.
Hold on, let me roll up.
Five,
right. So, I come in tonight.
I just guessed that number.
Come in, it's a chilly evening. I said to myself, I didn't really want.
I think I'm a pint cyclopedia at this stage. Pint cyclopedia.
Yeah, I
Owen's double checking, he doesn't believe me.
Yeah, I came in, I didn't really want a lager, I didn't want a pale ale, I didn't really know what I wanted. I saw Owen had ordered the pint of stout. I said to myself, do you know what? It's the evening for stout. We're coming in, we're in stout season. So yep. I said
4.3.
No, it's actually 5.
Well, that's I knew it was 5. I was certain that was 5.
Fuck it.
Anyway, excellent. Stout season, you went for the stout.
Very good point of stout. Better than the stout I had last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Oh, and I would ask what you're drinking tonight, but Ollie's already after telling everyone you're on a...
I just want to answer it that. It wasn't until... So, I kind of knew the old sweet agenda was going to be on tonight, right? But I didn't... I just wanted a nice stout, but... Now, this pairing, this caramelly stout and this chocolate pairing is fucking delish. It's so good.
Some would say here in a galaxy of caramel.
Shut the fuck up.
I have no idea what I'm drinking at this stage, lads. So I was on Trouble Brewing Ambush Pale Ale, but they ran out of it. Was after I tried to order the New England the New Ireland New England, Jesus Christ.
You said New England to me, is that?
Yeah, New Ireland Brewery's Savage Pale Ale, which is really, really good, but they were out of that as well.
And Rascals Brewing Fruitropolis.
Rascals Brewing Fruitropolis is out. And then I ordered an Elysium Wheat Beer from Yellow Belly Beer. That was out, so I'm on a Citra.
Oh yeah, classic.
But all of them are really nice.
Yeah.
Fruitropolis is delicious. We had a couple in Phil Grimes once.
Had them in Phil Grimes. Had a night on the beer in Dublin. Somewhere on... Camden Street, I was on a beer all night on Fruitropolis that night, and whoo, I was like,
top notch.
This is a good night,
So, really, really good. That I did get one point of that Trouble Brewing Ambush Pale Ale, which was a really good fruity pale ale, like Citra and Mosaic and Citra and Mosaic hops in it. Really fruity, really juicy, nice and easy on the palate, and just Yellow Belly Citra is as good as they get. Like, you know, it's just a classic. We like a bit of diversity, so we don't drink it every week, but fuck me, when you're stuck and when they're running out of everything else on tap, it's a good place to go.
What happened to diversity, that crew that won Britain's Got Talent?
The dance crew.
Your man Ashley something.
I presume they're still dancing.
I'd say they are.
The young fellow, only about 12 or 13, who was like the.
Yeah.
Do they? Like two little young fellas that used to come on and do loads of flips and stuff and just be the star of the show.
I suppose. A fellow with the bushy hair.
Honestly, they'd be about 18 or 19 at this stage.
I think there was some kind of like repeated M like last year on maybe Britain's Got Talent. Like, or
they did
maybe
a show
some.
Or the,
no, I don't know. Like, do you know how they kind of invite people back on or something?
Yeah, of course.
Jive Dancing. Their new name was Jiveversity.
Or maybe it was something... it could have been something completely different. But anyway... Jive. I think anyway that young kid now is like about like, you know, 6'5" or whatever. Like, you know, this huge fucker.
Massive,
like, you know, he's definitely about like 18, 19 or whatever. And... He came out and did like a fucking breakdance thing, and then they brought a young fella just like fucking reinventing the wheel.
Love that. Yeah.
Basically, if they brought out the exact same young chap, that's not very diverse.
No
They were a great crack back in the day, like.
Yeah, really, really good. Thanks for that chat, lads.
Actually, do you know what though, talking about Christmas, right? I used to hate the X Factor nailing Christmas number one every single year. You know the fucking song?
Yeah.
It was always Cat. Only for they had such a big following, it became the number one. But the song was always so tacky.
Rubbish.
Shit, like,
and a cover. And a cover as well.
It was always fucking Leona Lewis butchering Run by Snowfall.
Yeah.
Your man James, what's his name? The Wingy fella.
Arthur.
Yeah,
he's been whinging on Twitter recently as well.
Oh, he's a cranky old bollocks, him. And I don't remember any of the rest of them because I don't really follow it.
Do you remember that Matt Carpenter fella who, funnily enough, was
the painter.
Yeah,
Carpenter.
And he had a Biffy Clyro song, didn't he?
What's that?
But yeah. He didn't win it though.
No.
He did.
But did James Arthur win it?
James Arthur came second.
No, I think you're thinking of a different year, are you?
I don't know.
Did Matt Carpenter?
I
didn't
really know. I never follow him.
I think he won, but it seems to me that whenever someone wins, they get signed to Simon Cowell's label. They seem to just disappear into this.
Isn't it that they can't release another song for a year or something? There's some stipulation in the contract.
No, Matt Cardle.
Matt Cardle, sorry, Matt
Many
Cardle.
A Horror. That was the song, was it?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't follow.
But that is him though. There was a bit of a lawsuit there between Ed Sheeran and Matt Cardle a few years ago. Ed Sheeran supposedly, I actually don't know how it ended, but
this is all alleged now.
It is alleged. Don't sue the boys.
Matt Cardle is a big listener.
But supposedly,
don't
Ed
sue the
Sheeran
boys. Sue Wally.
Stole the chords to a song that Matt Cardle had written or produced or whatever years ago. I don't know who got away with it though.
But what, Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran had stole chords or like
there's only a few chords, isn't there? Like, ultimately, you know,
intellectual
produce.
There's a chap who I don't know his name has this theory that there's actually only really four combinations of music in the world.
And that man's name is Christy Moore.
Mechel. So anyway, lads.
What a fucking stupid sidebar.
Basically 12 minutes there of Holly ranting about the X Factor and neither of us giving a fuck about it. Movies, Christmas movies. This time of the year, every year, you get this nostalgia about what are we going to watch on Christmas Day, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever's on RT, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, what I want to ask you is, what constitutes a Christmas movie? Does it have to involve Santa? Does it have to have snow? Is it about the chronology, the time of the year?
No.
Or, like, I would argue, the ultimate Christmas movie for me is the Gene Wilder version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, for the simple fact it was played Christmas morning every year on RT1 for the entire duration of our childhoods.
Yeah. No, I'd agree.
And there's not a fucking reference to Christmas in the whole film.
For me, Polar Express on Christmas Eve.
Oh, great show.
Good show.
Brilliant show.
That's massive.
The only thing I'd say about the Polar Express, right? Brilliant, brilliant acting, right? And it was a film as well at the time where like it brought on animation.
The animation was ahead of its time, right?
But the next time you watch it, right? Look at their eyes, right? So the animation of their eyes hasn't come on. So I think it's something with like their pupils or the iris or whatever, right?
Face or something, do they?
It looks as if they've just like blackened the whole eye, right? So it's just kind of like this kind of like dead look in everybody's eyes in the film.
Right.
They're all like, it's hard to explain.
But when you watch it,
everyone just kind of looks a bit like, a bit kind of dead in the film, like it's not like.
Have you just ruined the Polar Express for everyone?
No.
And as a and another one would be any kind of Harry Potter movies there on a Stephen's Day. Stephen's Day to New Year's
there's snow in every Harry Potter film.
Yeah.
Though.
You're sitting around there in the afternoon, there's turkey and ham sandwiches being thrown around and everyone is living on leftovers from Christmas Day and stuffing is going out and whatever. And you're sitting down in front of the fire, there's a packet of potato and whatever, and Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban comes on.
What are you doing? Hold on, Darren, you explain to listeners here what the fuck you're doing.
So, we can't get orange twirls, so what I've done is I've taken an orange rose, broke it in half, and I've taken a twirl from the box of miniature heroes and I've scooped some orange gunk out of the orange rose. And I'm about to sample it. It smells like an orange twirl, to be fair.
Does not look like one.
Oh.
Oh, delicious.
This is fucking game drink. Here, I ate that. It actually is really nice.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be more gunky. Like, what's not like?
Yeah, but you see that you scoop the chocolate into the gunk, so you disperse the gunk in amongst the chocolate, as opposed to what an orange rose is just chocolate surrounding gunk, and you end up with a load of gunk in your mouth. And let's be honest, you could have gone down a dirty road there if you start talking about gunk in your mouth.
Wow, that's true.
What are we talking about? Harry Potter or Christmas films?
Yeah, Harry Potter or Christmas.
I think like the Olive's known them. Like Hogsmeade, every Hogsmeade scene is filled with snow and butterbeer. I think all the Harry Potter films constitute Christmas films. They fall into the category. It's like there's not. I don't think it's black and white with Christmas films. Whether one, unless it's the fucking Santa Claus or After Christmas or something like that.
Yeah. Sorry, Home Alone.
Or Home Alone or Elf. They're in the Venn diagram of Christmas films. They're firmly in the middle.
Directly in the middle.
But then you have an overlap of films that have Christmas elements to them and are acceptable as Christmas films, but have other elements too, such as the Harry Potter franchise. But then you've got Lethal Weapon.
Die Hard is a big one.
Yeah. Like, that is my Christmas film. It is without a doubt a Christmas film.
There's no doubt.
A, because it takes place at Christmas.
Instead of Christmas.
B, it is shown at Christmas.
It's shown at Christmas. C,
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And then D, it is set at Nakatomi Plaza's Christmas party.
Yeah, massive.
Just because Santa doesn't come and Bruce Willis doesn't stay with no shoes on, that doesn't mean it's not a Christmas film.
Such a big film.
Fucking Professor Snape. What's your man's name?
Rick Hoffman is Lewis Layton.
Rick
in Suits. Alan Rickman. Professor Snape is.
And
Hans
Grubel.
Hans Gunther.
Info. So
yeah,
he's a great. He's a diverse Christmas actor. Is what we're trying to get at here.
He plays a villain in both.
And a film I hate, but most women, and maybe a few
Love
men
Actually
so,
or something.
It's Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, what a surprise.
And he plays the continent.
Is he in that?
He breaks some Emma Thompson, I'm going to say, heart.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I'm about to admit I've never actually seen Love Actually.
Neither have I.
I just figured that was the weird Christmas Kira and never again.
Is that bad?
And it's her favourite Christmas film.
I would say that my Kira would also has threatened several times that we will watch Love Actually, and she'd watch it like
my Kira isn't your Kira by any chance.
Is your Kira blonde hair?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Same. Okay. Favourite Christmas film.
Then again, all right.
I love this, I need to clear my throat.
I need to swallow this chocolate. I mean, lads, if you could see the empty amount of, I think we might actually get through the tree.
There's actually loads here. It's ridiculous.
We might actually get through the tree tubs tonight.
I'm going to come out of here with gout.
What do you think is your favourite Santa or Christmas Day containing film? Because, I would argue, say the first Toy Story, right? The first Toy Story, the end scene is Christmas morning. And
Tangible. Nah, fuck that.
Do you think it's very, very much Christmas
clause? You're asking now what is a Christmas only film. Is that what you're asking?
I want to go down that road, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I said there is an element of Christmas Day in that. I'm not putting that forward. Does it qualify as a Christmas film?
No. Well, maybe.
I think it's a Christmas film because it's a family film.
But it also
maybe Stephen's daylight.
But also the last scene is Christmas morning. A puppy.
Yeah, but that's fucking literally 15 seconds of the game.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Literally, it is. I actually don't think you even see people. It's like a fucking, a picture.
The soldiers.
It's just doing it's like a door or something.
Down the Christmas tree.
It's a family film at Christmas, I think it's.
Okay, but what's your favourite Christmas, specifically Christmas team based on Christmas Day film? 1916. Have you still grabbed a hand and dealers? 1921. War of Independence.
Fuck. What's my favourite Christmas Day film?
Fucking De Valera. What's your favourite film based around Christmas Day, the Christmas happenings? Plus or minus Santa?
The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, yeah. Brilliant film. Yeah, the Santa Claus 2 as well, right? Which a very underrated sequel.
Yeah. Which one is
Santa Claus? The Santa Claus is the one where he's like puts on the coat, and then the physical properties develop, and he's trying to get to grips with it. The Santa Claus 2 is where he's like a really good Santa, and then because
the third one where Tim Frost or
he's Jack Frost.
Tim
Frost.
Yeah, no, that would also be my Christmas Day movie. I don't think I could.
I'm gonna throw one out there for you. Elf.
Yeah.
I mean,
before he even uttered.
Oh, sure. Look.
First syllable.
I'll throw a curveball here. I'm actually not a huge fan of Elf. Yeah.
He's allowed his opinion.
It's not my favorite Christian film.
He's allowed his opinion. It's wrong, but he's allowed his opinion. Why not? What don't you like about it?
I actually am not.
Don't say it's ridiculous and the storyline is implausible because,
But honestly, I think it's far too cringy for me. I actually hate cringy films when it's like, it's so in your face. It's like, oh fuck, like, jeez, this is tough to watch. I really struggle to get through Elf. And if myself, two brothers and my parents are in the sitting room and the fire's lit and we're having a lovely Christmas Day or Stephen's Day and Elf comes on, I will leave. I won't watch.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Christmas ruined.
Yeah. I genuinely don't like watching it at all. I think it's too difficult to watch for me.
I have a question here, right?
Why?
Is it Will Ferrell, right, or Will Ferrell?
Don't be stupid.
Because I've heard like podcasters.
Don't tell me this.
Movie review podcasters calling it both ways.
Will Ferrell.
You see, we have Farrell in Ireland, so that's why we gravitate towards Ferrell.
Yeah.
Or Ferrell.
Ferrell, yeah.
But I believe he pronounces it as Ferrell.
Ah, stop. Stop.
I believe he's introduced that.
Look, and we know he's a big listener, so.
Will, let us know.
No, don't let us know. Will, come on the podcast, have a chat with us, have a pint.
Let us know in person.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of pints, be good. He spends a bit of time in Ireland.
Yeah.
He's also a big Liverpool fan.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Talladega Nights, old school, Step Brothers, like, Blades of Glory. Well, I suppose you could argue that Blades of Glory is a winter-themed movie.
Yeah.
So it might just about come into that topic, that area of thought, but...
So anyway, I said Santa Claus, you said Elf. Ollie,
I'll go Santa Claus as well. Any
three. The Santa Claus, as in C-L-A-U-S-E.
Yes, of course, It's a staple.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, that movie title caught out many a person for years. Because a lot of times where I've said it to people, and they've been like, a legal clause.
Which is the whole theme around Santa Claus and the Santa Claus too.
In fairness to them, it was a very smart title.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
It was subtle. And unless you didn't understand, obviously, the legalities of a clause.
To be fair, you'd just be like, that's just how the Yanks spell clause.
Yeah.
They leave out the U and then they add the E.
And like, also, to be fair, the film is aimed at 7-year-olds.
A very, very well taken on board point. When it comes into animation, and Christmas films, where do you stand?
Ooh, I think as long as the animation of elves is good. And the surrounding objects in the Christmas atmosphere is good, I think you're onto a winner.
Okay.
So, right, you're kind of... Are you asking, like, in terms of what, like, animated film around Christmas, is it? Or
we mentioned the Polar Express, I suppose, when Ali... When we talked about Christmas films, to begin with, the Polar Express came to mind for Ali, and it came to mind for me. It should come to mind for most people who watched it. But I'm going to talk about, in terms of animated films, how do they hold up against the non-animated films? And as well, what are your favourite Christmas-themed animated films?
Again, I suppose, bringing it back to, what's a Christmas... So you're asking Christmas-themed?
I'll put it this with you. I've been to see Frozen 2 last week. Is the Frozen franchise Christmas?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, like, you can argue that it's all year round.
I think it predates Christmas because it's talking about, like, it's basically built around Viking rituals and stuff, like, and fjords, and it's pre-St. Nick and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think it's still got that winter magical feel to it.
Well, like, you don't think fucking and Christmas Disney is are marketing for release in December.
But also, like, Christmas is stolen from Viking rituals and pagan rituals anyway. So the whole timing and thought around it. So, like, I think it definitely falls into category. Even though it doesn't make any specific reference to Christmas, it has absolutely zero Christian properties associated to it.
As a Christmas film, it doesn't have any relation to the Christmas festival.
Yeah.
But no.
When you think of Christmas, you think of snow, you think of people together.
Snowman,
do you know what I mean? It does provoke the ideas of Christmas in your own head. And I have to say, it would, if Frozen came on at Christmas, I would have it on over Elf.
Wait, that's just ridiculous.
No, both. Frozen is so great. It's really good. It's really good. It's a guilty pleasure.
I've been to see Frozen 2, and I won't give any spoilers away, but Frozen 2, the storyline's actually better. The songs aren't as good. There's one or two really good little bits, but the storyline's fucking really good. Well worth seeing.
In terms of animated films, so, like, over the Christmas period, again, I think Disney just kind of plays heavily as well, right?
Yeah.
And one film that kind of creeps into my mind that it's played over kind of Christmas time is A Bug's Life.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think around, like, maybe not like Christmas itself, but like around, like, maybe like New Year's Day, like that, A Bug's Life would come on. Yeah. And I don't know why that's coming into my head, but like, it's definitely one that I've seen, like, only because, like, because, you know, like, you don't really have access to Disney films unless, like, you have the fucking DVD of it, like.
Yeah.
But
of every single one.
Yeah, but like, it would be one that would have
beyond the terrestrial TV.
I do think what you're saying makes sense when you think of that. Children are off all over Christmas, so it makes sense for RT2, RT1, whatever channel you're watching them on, will show these animated films because their audience will be the, like, 4 to
14-year-olds.
Also, we've had this conversation before. We had this conversation at Halloween, but A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Is fucking great songs in it.
It's one of those films where a Halloween, I feel like it's a Halloween film, and then a Christmas, I feel like it's a Christmas film. Yeah, you know, it covers both bases.
You see it from both angles, though.
Yeah, 100%. Have you both seen Art of Christmas?
Yeah.
I watched probably 60 or 70% of it with Aurora there a few weeks ago.
I think it's a good film.
It's a real, it's a real easy watch without actually taking anything home from it.
Yeah, the only problem I have with it is that, like, maybe it's like a kind of a,
like, you think
aimed
it's
at a different generational thing, right?
Yeah.
So that, like, you know, the way, like, say, well, maybe this is me just talking at my age as well, but like, say, like, the Santa Claus, I think, was like aimed at like young and old, right?
Yeah, it was.
Whereas I think that, like, Arthur Christmas is like aimed at young, and then you go at an older age, you go, ah, that's a nice film, you know. Whereas you don't have, like, I don't think, like, that depth of depth of humor or something for, like, you know, an adult audience, you know.
My baseline for Christmas animated movies, as I said, would be the Polar Express. So if I don't think something meets the criteria that the Polar Express meets for, like, it's a great plot, like, the scenes you see on the train and how it all works, if it doesn't meet what I think is like a good Christmas movie, I said, well, like, Arthur Christmas is a fine movie, but if I had to pick, you know, like, it wouldn't be my,
it's not in the same league.
It's not in the same league at all.
The only other Christmas film I'm going to bring up, lads, before we move on to the last topic of the night, fill up the pint glasses first, is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And obviously, I'm specifically talking about the Jim Carrey version because we're all of a generation who have seen the Jim Carrey version.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen the 1960s. No, the
no. Oh, the old
the version.
They're coming out with a new one, though.
Maybe they are, but like the thing is, I think like Jim Carrey's version came out. We say roughly, I don't know what year it came out, early 2000s.
Yeah.
You're talking about roughly 40 years since the 1966 version, which rated higher in the IMDb rankings.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen it, so I can't compare. But I have to say, I think A Christmas Isn't Complete without sitting through that film and watching it.
I do like the Grinch.
Yeah. And it's a film that when it came out first, I thought it's shite. And I thought,
What age were you when you saw it first?
So I was a cantankerous teenager.
Right. Okay.
Whereas now I watch it with a whole new respect for it.
But I think as myself, I know personally, as I got older, I have more respect for how he felt.
Yeah.
Towards Christmas, there's another like because obviously when we would have been I would have been what like 5 when it came out, and I would have been watching when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I saw it as like a fucking hate the Grinch, he's a bastard, like why would he try and do this? And but then when you get old, you're like, well actually he's got like a totally different outlook because of his
like
circumstances.
There's a Grinch in every family.
Absolutely there is, like.
But no, you actually have to respect him as well, like at the time, you know. There's a few like horrendous scenes where like he's bullied as a child of like the colour of his skin.
Absolutely. Like,
and
that's
like
what I'm saying.
You know, like, and like, you know the bit where like they buy him a razor. Like they buy him this like all of them, like there's a Secret Santa say in the school when he's young, and they buy him like this fucking
in Hooville.
Yeah, and they buy him like this like razor, and he like cuts all his face, and then they all laugh at him and stuff, like, you know.
But
that's just like
but
horrendous.
When you're
younger,
you don't realise what that means. But then, like, as a young adult and as an adult, you start to really understand what that means in a more broader context, like that speaks far louder than you probably
think
when you're younger.
Yeah, I think even without even going into that level of depth into it, I just think Jim Carrey's really fucking good in it. Like, you know, if you're just looking at it from a basic point of view, he's exaggerative to the point that I think is it Hans Christian Andersen?
No,
he's a mermaid.
Dr.
Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why the fuck I went to Hans Christian Andersen. I think if Hans Christian Andersen could have the Grinch who stole Christmas act, if Dr. Seuss, Jesus,
for fuck's sake,
could have the Grinch who stole Christmas acted out in that, he would have done it exactly as Jim Carrey did.
Yeah.
And I just think he really played the character really well. It sounds really good. We're going to fill up the pint glasses. We're going to come back with a brief chat about something else. And Tordum the law. Give me your hand. How are you, lads? We're back. Full pint glasses. And we've been eating out of Miniature Heroes, Celebrations, Roses, tubs of chocolates based on sweets, chocolate bars that you can get around the country. But guys, what about other treats that only appear at Christmas time?
Christmas pudding.
The grandmother's Christmas pudding.
Oh, I'm just...
Yeah, it's a good show.
Knocking me.
I wasn't knocking at all.
Chocolate Mikado.
Yeah, that was one I down. The chocolate Mikados, yeah. Because you get a chocolate Kimberly all year round. You get a chocolate Kimberly all year round.
Yeah.
But the chocolate Mikado only comes out at Christmas.
Is Mikado the like biscuit?
The pink eclair. Fluff. The pink fluff and the jam in the middle.
I'm
chocolate surrounded.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a layer of biscuit, some foam.
White mallow.
Mallow, yeah.
And then chocolate around it.
Ginger biscuit.
No.
He's thinking of what you just said.
No. You're thinking of Kimberly? Just mallows.
Thinking of Kimberly.
No, Kimberly is the pink fluffy.
You're thinking of
some Mikado. I'm thinking of Mikado. No, Kimberly is ginger biscuit. He's thinking of just the mallows. So Milka do one with a tin
lyric. Are you thinking of biscuit, mallow, biscuit?
He's thinking of biscuit.
Biscuit.
Kimberly is the ginger
and
biscuit.
A good layer of white mallow, another biscuit, and then chocolate all around it.
Yeah.
No. He's thinking of Cadbury's chocolate. He's thinking of chocolate cream.
Which?
Chocolate cream.
No, definitely not.
Not a Cadbury's dream bar, the white chocolate.
No. What he said. It's like an Oreo, but like white fluff and chocolate around it.
Kimberly is ginger in it though.
Hold on. I think.
Anyway.
Kimberly is the two lines of pink.
No, that's Mikado.
Are you sh?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Mikado is the two lines of pink with the jam in the middle.
No, that's a Kimberly.
No, it's not.
It is. It is.
No, sorry. Hold on.
That's Mikado. Look.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm on about.
Oh, sorry. What? No, Kimberly is those the exact same thing, just without the chocolate.
No, it's not. The
greatest deals at upmarket prices, or whatever the fuck this is.
That's your blag, like.
This? Oh, no.
No, they were on our side.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That was...
This is just deleted.
Sorry for the last 2.5 minutes of terrible audio.
What we were talking about was a Kimberly.
That's it.
Is that the ginger biscuit?
Yeah, but that's not a Christmas one though.
Oh, for me it is.
There is ginger in that biscuit though.
Yeah, okay.
There is.
Come here now. You're telling me your parents have that tin all
grand, all I said, grand, my, all I said was biscuit. I didn't have to spend like it, yeah. It wasn't
fair
same.
Enough.
Are you telling me your parents
my grandparents have that all year round? My grandparents have that all year round. Just because
your family all year round.
No.
That's a Christmas tree.
Just because your families aren't sophisticated, lads. What I would say is, right, you're dead right though, when it comes to the chocolate Mikados, you don't see them other times here. The snowballs as well.
They're
the coconutty ones. Yeah, they'll desiccate
a coconut on top.
Yeah. Is it raspberry in the middle?
Sometimes you do get it. Milka do one of those mallows as well. Do you know the mallows you get?
Milka do with a
very thin layer of caramel inside the chocolate.
I don't think we'd ever have a Milka anything in the house at Christmas.
But like I said, you're not a sophisticated family.
Remember when Milka were first introduced into the country, right? And you were like...
They're real foreign.
Yeah.
Right, but they were so foreign that you could like come home from the holidays into like Aldi or wherever.
Still doing that now. Forgot to get anything for the lads in work after being away. I go into fucking Lidl and buy a half a Milka. But you try and go to a Lidl not in the vicinity of where you work, and an odd chance that they might have a random Milka in their selection.
Green tea or something.
Have you any German labelled ones, lads?
Oh,
what's that?
This is a bounty.
Bounty?
But like, I'm a big fan of the coconut. Oh, I'm a big fan of the coconut. What?
I'm actually a box of chocolate cleaner upper.
Yeah.
Right, so when people leave the shit behind. Another thing I love as well is the fudge.
I do like a fudge.
Oh, fudge. Fudge. Yeah. But fudge shouldn't be left behind.
Oh my god, this mound of wrappers. Yeah. Oh my god!
I do think though the bounty comes even beneath the box of roses. It would be the absolutely last bar I would ever go near.
Yeah, but you're just unsophisticated and you don't have a developed palate.
The bounty is just no. There's no need for the bounty.
Okay. So is the bounty the worst of all the chocolates that we've had so far?
Yes.
Fair enough. Oh, and what do you think is the worst out of the three boxes of chocolates that we have? I'm going to go with the dark chocolate Brazil nut rose as the worst of all of them.
Oh, actually, if there's anything dark chocolate there, I didn't realize it.
It's a good job they got rid of the Bourneville with the miniature heroes. Oh, and they are taking a picture of the stack of wrappers for the social media. So basically, the other thing I'd like to say is, what's your favourite selection box of all time?
So actually, do you know what I've found recently is that like selection boxes and advent calendar selection.
Calendar chocolate jokes are a load of bollocks.
But they've exploded. Like they've literally.
But they can fuck off.
Yeah.
They can get in the bin.
So right, my favourite. I think it has to be like. I think there's just the classic. You know the ones that the ones with like the curly whirly. The classic
one.
Yeah. Oh,
just the classic
like,
carrot.
Yeah.
Chomp.
Chomp.
Curly whirly. Flake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're on something there. The other one I would put out there is, do you know when you were a young, do you know when you're a young fella? The other one I'd put out there when you were a young fella was the ones with like jelly tots and these little really sugary sweet ones that weren't overly chocolate. Like, do you know, they had like a few jelly tots and another few bits. And as well, I put out there the ones with like, as I got older then, the ones with like peanut M&Ms and stuff in them. Yeah. Selection boxes with the little mini ones of them were really good.
Oh, actually, yeah. Actually, Kira got one there the other day with like the peanut M&Ms in it.
Yeah.
Actually, it did have a curly whirly in it as well. Yeah. That was fucking...
That was a real mixed bag. Yeah. Do you know what I always longed for as a young fella? I always longed for Kinder. Bring out a selection box.
They'd break up the money. I'm sorry.
A Kinder selection box. It would be the gold.
Oh my god.
So Kinder Bueno, Kinder Bueno.
Mini Kinder egg.
You can definitely get an egg.
A couple of squares of Bueno.
Tiny little toy to choke on.
And do you know the little Kinder? What are the little Kinder milk bars? What are they called again?
They're just
in, Kinders.
Are
they
just called Kinders?
I think so.
Yeah.
But they also
actually do.
They have a Kinder Bites.
The
like,
Bites? Yeah, the little Bites with
you
the...
You get like one or two of those.
Who does an animal bar?
Animal bar is Cadbury.
Is it Cadbury?
Is it?
They also do animal like Bites.
Looks like a Nestle.
Or
it's a
Nestle. I could be thinking of animal... What's the animal ones? With the biscuit on the
I know,
back.
I know that they're Cadbury's, yeah. I think animal bars are Nestle.
I'm going to say Nestle.
They are, yeah.
Maybe so, I stand to be correct.
A real pale looking chocolate, like, you know. Yeah.
I don't know if you've had them, but you know the like tin cardboard tubes with like fruit pastilles and wine gums? And
yeah, yeah.
Do you ever get those?
Fruit gums as well, I love a fruit gum.
They're a huge stocking filler at home.
I love a fruit gum.
Santa, El Fiddle, you know.
I really love a combination of fruit gum and fruit pastille in the mouth. Yeah, a bit of extra chew in one, a bit of extra sugar in the other.
I'll see you on Christmas Day.
Obviously, new play, fruity gum and fruit pastille before. Ollie, we were going to come to you for one final topic before we let the listeners go and tease. What do you want to chat about?
So, I've been playing 11-a-side football recently on the weekends. I'd only ever really played 5-a-side.
What level is this?
Oh, jeez, it's 2A, but at the same time, we have the ability to be definitely playing like 1A. Like it's a funny mix where a lot of the people on our team don't want to be committing any more than they have to be.
So you're handy but fond of the points.
It's like a good junior team in Waterford.
Storm your life.
But you know what? You understand what I'm saying? Like it's a. When we play football and we're really on the ball, we will play some very good football. But then again,
if your match is a Sunday morning, you're fucked.
Yeah, we're in big trouble. Like a prime example was we played Tramore Premier nearly over a month and a half ago, if not 2 months ago, on a Friday or Saturday, I can't really remember. And as someone that has come from a sporting family, through my grandfather that doesn't particularly lose very often, my uncle as well, we don't like losing, we don't lose very well. We go up against these big teams, you know, we want to play football, we want to hurt them, you know, do a bit of damage. So we came to Tramore, and Tramore expected to just walk all over us as a Premier side against a 2A. They have all these footballers that play this nice football out from the back. They'll pass it here and there, and they'll work up the field and they'll score, right? And we came to them with this attitude that if we work harder than they will, we'll come away with the result. And in the first half, they played better football than us. And in the second half, they took this for granted. And we came at them, we like... as a 10-person outfield team, we attacked every ball that came near us. We worked hard. And
what was the score at half time?
1-0 to Tramore.
Okay.
What was the score full time?
1-1.
Okay.
Right.
So you Sheffield United. You're Sheffield United.
I think so. And we're a very good counter
respected.
So when I play up front, plenty pace. Grant, Mick Corcoran, plenty pace. We'll chase ball and we'll harry the back four and we'll make them. Personally, I think a huge factor in non-professional football is you have to make defenders actually worry and have to make them really make a decision on where they want to pass the ball.
I think that's at all levels of any sport.
But in the level we're playing, no back four is going to be comfortable taking the ball and having two forwards coming at them and covering all their options. No one wants to play against that.
Yeah.
So when you start to play a high press where you just pressure and work hard against another team, you're going to come away with some sort of chance or whatever. So we ended up after 90, we were 1-1 and we said, fuck it, we've a right fucking chance of doing these lads here. They were out on their feet, they played
so
all
it was a cup tie going to extra time.
Cup
yeah.
tie, right? So they had they played all the football, to be fair to them. But in the last half hour, we dominated the game like. We really like put it up against them and they didn't like playing the centre halves didn't like turning around and having to face their own goal and worry about a ball coming over the top and all this kind of carry on. So in extra time, the first 15 went by and it was wishy-washy. No team wanted to
push on too much
and concede early, and then the other team can sit back. And do you know, like, it's a game of tactics. It's cagey in the first half, and then in the second half we just said, like, lads, we actually have nothing to
not
lose here.
To lose, not
we
to
really
lose.
Don't. We're a 2A team playing against a Premier team that had won the Premier League 2 or 3 years ago. Mm. So we said, right, let's play forward. Let's play football. We know that we have them for pace at the back. We have them for aggressiveness in the middle of the field. If they want to get to a ball, we want to get to it more than them. So it came
it's no
to
good
it.
Having a good touch if a fella's in front of you touching it first.
Exactly. So we decided, right, we'll have a go with them here. And in the 120th minute, I got the ball on the edge of the box and I swung this puppy in. One of the lads got a flick on it. We scored 2-1.
Scenes. Cans everywhere.
Dunmore emptied. And we were, it was up in Tramore, but Dunmore had come to the field, and like we had 60 or 70 people on the sideline watching this game because it was such a big, like, it's a big thing for a 2A side to play a Premier side. And anyway, we won, and Tramore were fucking sick.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to give Roy Keane's tactical analysis of the game as you've described it, as someone who hasn't been at the game. Well, like, I suppose to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Tramore just didn't want to fucking be there.
No.
They just didn't want to be there, and at the end of the day, Dunmore came at the boys, and they came at them with a bit of heart.
Yeah.
And you can be in Tramore, and you can have your fancy boots, and you can have your Instagram, but you haven't a pair of balls.
And as cliche as it sounds coming from Roy Keane, it genuinely was the truth. We wanted to win that match far and more than they did. They came out thinking that we'd saunter over these lads now. And we said, do you know what, we'll give them a tough game here. And heart will always trump skill and, you know.
Ooh, I mean, Jesse Lingard, who does he think he is? On Instagram, dancing like a fucking dog.
Yeah. No, I think there's something special about Sunday League football as well. Like,
that when they talk about the purity of a game,
absolutely,
that's what they're talking about. Lads hungover.
Yeah, hungover, or like, you know, hacking legs, and that's just, it's something nice. Yeah. Like, I played a little 11-a-side for a few years, all right, and then just ultimately then with Kira being away, like living in Dublin or Kildare, at the time, so like it ended up being me, like, you know, two of us been away midweek, and then like weekends would have been like literally our time, like, so I had to kind of give that up a bit, like, because I was taking the piss for a while, but like the few seasons that I did play, like, then, like, it was just like just the camaraderie, and like we played 2B, I think. We were playing with Red Star at the time. And
we're playing Red Star on Saturday.
And like that was just fucking good group of lads, like, you know, just like good bunch, like, so I suppose like during my career I would have played with Red Star, would have played with De La Salle, and would have played with Waterford Crystal. So I played with Waterford Crystal and Rage, and then for during my leaving cert year I played Drop Down, because Waterford Crystal was getting way too serious. Like, it was actually just like stop being fun, and like it was kind of change managers and things like that, and just like ended up being just like not what I wanted anymore. From
you lost the fun out of
out of it, like, you know. So went to De La Salle then, and that was really good crack, because a lot of the guys in say 6th year with me, who would have felt the exact same as me, were like, look, we just wanted this for a bit of fitness or whatever. Absolutely. I remember actually one game that
had. It's a bit of crack in the weekend too. When you're studying for Leaving Cert, you want to have a break and.
Yeah. I remember this one game that we had where there was like a few boys from Stradbally or fucking, I don't know, somewhere at West anyway, right? We were coming down, like. And these boys, like, even though we were playing fucking shit league, like, you know, whatever it was, like, at the time, the boys came down, they were like, you know, we are gonna, they, like, you know, came out on the pitch, like, you know, they were immediately, like, you know, elbowing us, like, in fucking, in the ribs, everything, like, you know, we're gonna fucking smash you, we're gonna fucking, you know, all this shit, like, you know, we're like, sure, go on ahead, like, I'm only out here for a bit of a run, like, you know, but like we actually ended up beating them, like, you know. But like I think it was that like kind of like relaxed, laissez-faire attitude that we had that kind of added to it as well. That like we were like, Ash, look, we're just only going out to enjoy the football as well. Like, and like that's like I actually really miss that. And like we do get it at Five Aside, like that we play every Monday.
What a night, yeah.
And what was great, I think, actually, for a while, so our five aside with the current group that we're with started off whereby the two of us were just kind of invited to a group.
Pure outsiders, like.
So, say it was myself and Darren, and there was Simon who had invited us to this group, right?
Simon Coon.
So, because we were invited initially, it was always Darren, Simon and I who were on the one team, right? And then there were two kind of other outsiders that would have been invited by someone else, right? And like that was the team, that was our team, right? Versus the five lads who had kind of set up that five-side group who were always there.
Who played with each other since they were eight or nine. Like,
and like I think initially, like, the games are still great now, but those first few months to a year to maybe a year and a half, 2 years, like, it was like we were like that definitely did stay on for a good while, but it was that setup where it was just like me, Darren, and Simon, two other outsiders, whatever. Maybe one of them might have come in, swapped out, whatever. But it was like us core versus that core every week. And it was just like, we bet you this week, you bet us that week, we bet you again, you bet us that week, right? And it
so
was
he, like, he had some sort of like set teams. Like when you arrived on Monday, you kind of knew.
Yeah, you were just kind of.
It was just because of that whole, like, outsiders, we know ye, and like you still get that with like when lads invite, you know, look,
plus ones,
Simon, you know, Darren's plus one, Tab's plus one, you know, Ollie's plus one,
yeah,
you know, it's like so. Like, you don't
if
want
you,
to,
if you, you came on one of us now, you'd just be pitching with us.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're not, you'd
be so lucky.
Yeah, but like, it's just because like you're just like, oh look, we won't, like, just because it's easier like for us to fucking call your name,
yeah,
even
course, yeah,
like, you know, rather than
agreed. But bringing a plus one, you generally take your plus one. Like.
But what I'd say about that kind of level of that kind of five aside, that kind of Sunday league thing, is there's zero expectation, which I think almost releases your inhibitions a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know this, because I thought we'd slag each other up, we'd be gearing each other up for a five-side on a Monday in work. And we go and you'd be like, are you looking forward to five-side tonight? And I'd be like, yeah, my only ambition tonight is to get 10 nutmegs.
Yeah.
And I won't give a fuck about the score or how many I score or how many. I'm like, I just want to nutmeg someone 10 times tonight.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, that's my sole objective for the hour is 10 nutmegs. Or like, and but out of that just joyful, not giving a fuck, comes some of the most spectacular goals.
Yeah,
yeah.
Some of the most spectacular bits of skill. Like, when you go on Twitter and you look up like these really good goals, it's always in a park somewhere where someone scored a 45-yard volley that's hit the back stanchion at like 80 miles an hour, or someone's flicked the ball over three lads' heads and lobbed the goalie.
Yeah.
Apart from Luis Suarez would play against Norwich.
Yeah.
You'd never see that in a professional game. Mm. Because everyone, like, the guys who are attacking are better than, like, have more talent in their toenails than we have in our entire fibre of our being. But at the same time, too, the guys defending them are better at defending than anyone we've ever come across in our lives. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's offset. Whereas, like, at that five aside, like, depending on my fitness, like, I'm kind of ambidextrous and can shoot, so I'd score a few goals. But when I'm fit, I can dribble a bit and do a little feint for a big like, that's one of the things that, like, Simon said to me before. He's like, for the size of you, I can't believe how you can, like, do a fake and change direction. And it's like, those little stupid things that, because the guy who's defending me has zero defensive skill, it looks so much better than it actually is. And it's just that enjoyment of, like, thinking, oh, I'm actually good at footy, when you're not, like.
Yeah,
you're not, like, you're,
but it,
you're
is, not. It is that thing, like, you know, that you're saying, like, of, like, you know, releasing your inhibitions, like, you know, so say, like, say Ollie was, like, in the right back position, or, like, kicking from a right back, right, and I was, up on the left, like, you know, up forward on the left, and he was just, like, spotted me, right, if that ball is coming to me, like, I'm 100% shooting. Like, if you are clear in on goal, like, in the center, like, and, like, all I have to do is, like, head it on, or like, you know, just touch it onto you, like, there's no way I'm doing that. I am trying to, like, ping that long ball into a top corner, because
also, like, I tried a scorpion kick a few weeks ago from about 20 yards, and you know what, the cunt nearly went in, like. Do you think if I was in an actual, if I was a professional footballer in a game that I was being paid, and, like, my response, my livelihood was based on this, do you think I'd be trying a scorpion kick from 20 yards? Probably not, like.
One thing I would say is, from, say, between hurling and soccer, right, is that the level of enjoyment you get from playing a recreational game of soccer versus a recreational game of hurling is huge. Like, when you play hurling, it's such a competitive
it's
sport.
Not recreational.
No, but you
because it's an amateur sport, and basically at every, like, you're never more than two steps away from the pinnacle of the sport.
But when I'm saying recreational, I mean, like, even if you're playing junior hurling, there's no one that wants to just play junior hurling for the fucking sake of playing hurling.
See, that's because it's so parochial.
But it's so, as you said, parochial. Everyone has a sense of winning in them. Everyone is so hell-bent on priding themselves on having a win against the next team they play, right?
Yeah.
But when you play five-a-side, it can be far more relaxed, and you can just go out, and it's a runabout for a lot of people. It's an hour of, I can, you know, I'm shit at football, but I can run fucking 2,000 steps, I can play a bit of football, and afterwards I'll go home, I'll have my dinner, and I'll get to bed.
But the thing with football as well is, like, hurling has a very high skill threshold. Whereas, actually, to call a spade, football has at any level that we're playing at, has a real, like, if you can just control a football and kick it 5 yards, you'll get by.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
hurling has so
it's
much more hand-eye coordination.
It's more complex
yeah.
than that.
But that being said, then like there's so much more enjoyment from a game of five-a-side, as you said.
It's less inclusive, I think, hurling. Yeah. Then, like, you know
it
what
is.
I mean? Like, it is. There's no five-a-side hurling. Like, you know what I mean?
Plus,
like,
no, but it's
how do you leisurely play hurling without like it's no, such a dangerous sport as well?
Trying
you know?
To hurt like. I don't think I could play a game of, like we had Jesus years ago under like 13 we played a 5-a-side or 6-a-side tournament in the Carrageen AstroTurf, right, and we were coming up against teams that were travelling like 2 or 3 hours to play this tournament, a supposed Friday night thing where you come along, you bring your 6 players and you play and you go home afterwards and it's all fun and games. But at the same time, if you won this underage, you go.
Yeah, but
you
there's
say,
no friend.
Well,
yeah.
I fucking. I actually see you, St. Martin's there from Galway, like a wee fucking betchy by whatever.
Well,
we played a team from Belfast.
There's no.
Do you know? And
there's
like,
no.
But like, you have. Even though it's only a 6-a-side thing in Carrageen, hurling is far more competitive.
But as I said, you're only ever a couple of steps away from the pinnacle of hurling. You're
absolutely,
only ever
yeah.
a couple of steps away from being at the highest level, whereas, like. There's so many layers to footy, it's different. That's been a fucking blast. What I would say is, if you want to give the Snowcast Anthem for Christmas, just pass it on to your friends. Just be sound.
Yeah, text 5 lads.
Text 5 lads, listen to this bastard New York. And you may include the link to the Patreon there and then. Here we're going to go off and have another couple of pints, enjoy the rest of the night, and thanks a million for tuning in. We're going to eat a heap of chocolate and you're going to drink a couple of pints of stout and I'll find a couple of pints of citra and we'll have a bit of crack. Sound?
Slow,
stay well away from yourselves.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.